We're going to skip ahead just a little bit. Chapter 3 and verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drank, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. So just imagine a big old pile of grain freshly harvested. That's like Boaz laying on a mountain of cash money. What's he doing? I think Boaz was a righteous man. I think he was thinking to himself, God, thank you for being so good to me. Look at God's goodness in my life. Just laying back on it, sleeping on your money. I'd take that word for myself. And so she came, so he's asleep, and she came down softly. That'll preach all by itself. She came down softly and uncovered his feet, and then she laid down at his feet. Mm-hmm. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and he turned himself. And there a woman was lying at his feet. And so she was not up under the blanket with him, doing nothing like that. It don't hold true to the story. She's laying at his feet. But what did she do? She created a circumstance to get his attention. And so he's cold, his feet are cold, and he goes to roll over. And when he rolls over, he looks and goes, "My, there's a woman laying right there." And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Let me just be very clear. She's not speaking physically. She's not saying, "Hey, hold me." It's important we understand this. She's not saying, "Hold me." She's not getting ready to do certain things to try to seduce him. When she says, "Take me under your wing, for you are a close relative," she's invoking the law of Moses, saying someone is supposed to take responsibility for me according to God's ways and God's laws. I want it to be you. And then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter." By calling her my daughter, what is he doing? He's showing respect. He doesn't own her yet. "For you have shown more kindness at the end than the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Let's just stop right there for the sake of time. We're going to get you out of here on time. What has just happened? Ruth stepped out, and she stayed steady. Please hear me. A great key to being a mighty one: step out. Don't settle. You hear what I just said? Don't settle. There's two ways we can analyze this. We can analyze it through circumstance, through the natural, and it'll hold true. Or we can analyze it on a spiritual level. Here's what I mean. Many of us who are people of faith and people of the Spirit, we tend to mischaracterize or misunderstand destination. And here's what I mean by that. Many times we associate destination as a place that God has made for us, or a set of circumstances. And sometimes we misconstrue even biblical stories, like the people crossing into the promised land. We misconstrue the promised land. And so here's what we do. We start saying to ourselves, thank you so much. We start saying to ourselves, when everything is perfect in my life, then I'll know I have arrived.
And so we start looking around saying, well, when I have enough money, or when my house is the way I want it, the where I want it, when my career is where I want it, when my marriage is where I want it, when my kids are where I want it, then we say that's the destination. Because if Ruth is to be interpreted properly, we have to understand this. Ruth was not settling for circumstances, because what she really needed was not circumstances. What she really needed was a relationship. So she didn't need a paycheck. What she needed was a provider. And a lot of times we fall short and we wind up not living the life of grace is because we think it's faith saying, God, give me a paycheck, when God's saying, you don't need a paycheck, you need me. Because I'm the provider, and when you come into covenant with the provider, I'll see to it you get a paycheck one way or the other. Step out, stay steady, and don't settle. And so here's what she could have done. She could have settled for the younger man. She could have settled for the, let's just wager and say, the younger men were more attractive, the more energetic man, the more visionary-oriented man. She could have said, I want all that, but she said, no, who I really need is the mature, wise provider. I want the better thing. Let me teach you something that God has been unpacking to Holly and I, and I believe he's been saying it to a lot of you because we've been talking about it. One of the ways that the enemy gets you is with the lesser blessing. The enemy don't care if you get a little bit of blessing as long as that's not the one that God intended for you. And so some of you are settling to be manager when he's called you to be a CEO. And some of you are settling being single when he's called you to enter into covenant. Let me say that differently. Some of you are settling for shacking up instead of going into covenant. That's good preaching, Jordan. I like that. I think I'm gonna receive that. That's so good, I'm gonna crease my new Jordans right there. You know what? Did you know we do that in church? We settle for a church that we like, that sounds the way we like, looks the way we like, the tone is the way we like, instead of going for where God has planted us to go and where God has planted us to be. Sometimes we settle when God heals a flu instead of believing God will heal cancer. Sometimes we'll settle for a crutch when God wants to get them out of a wheelchair. Sometimes we'll settle for $100,000 when God says, I called you to own and operate millions. Sometimes we settle for touching a community when God says, I've called you to touch a city. Some of us settle for just staying married instead of being committed to having the covenant of love. Some of us settle that we keep our kids out of jail instead of contending for that they go into their calling. Let me tell you about being a mighty one. Sometimes you have to assess your circumstances and assess yourself, and you have to determine and decide, I'm not going to settle for the easy thing. Let me tell you something. The easy life, guess what? It may be comfortable, but there's no grace. We were in prayer this morning, and the Lord told me, I want you to call some people out of being comfortable. And the reason why you're not seeing the miraculous is because you're comfortable. The reason you haven't met your Boaz is you've been comfortable hanging out with the reapers. The reapers are good and great, but that's not God's best for you. Did you know that sometimes the enemy leads us astray by giving us the good instead of the God? Because God looks at you and he determines they're not going to be put off right there. They have a sense that God wants to do something in their life, and so he's a liar. He'll give you something that looks like God, smells like God, feels like God, and tastes like God, except and it ain't. And you go home thinking, God really blessed me today, and the enemy's laughing at you. Because guess what? It's easy to get comfortable with the reapers, but it takes a real mighty woman, it takes a real mighty man to say, I'm going to get up in the middle of the night, I'm going to be uncomfortable, and I might make somebody else uncomfortable, but I'm believing that God is going to give me a connection, he's going to give me a covenant, he's going to give me a calling, he's going to give me a moment that's going to be my moment. The reapers will get their moment, Naomi going to get her moment, Boaz about to get his moment if you let me in that room. Somebody needs to start believing at the Gate Church again that the Boaz is not when the mayor approves or the governor approves or when the school system approves. Some of us need to reorient our faith that the real blessing comes when our heavenly Boaz looks down and he looks at us and says, you know what? You're a virtuous woman, Gate Church. You have more happiness in the end than you had in the beginning. You have stepped out. You have been steady. And today is your day. I'm about to make all of your problems go. I'm going to make your problems go away in a moment. Oh, somebody needs to believe that. I don't want my circumstances to change. I want my relationship with Boaz to change. Some of us need to quit looking at our bank account, and we need to start looking at Boaz to change some things for us. Because let me tell you something, dear friend, money may change your circumstances, but it'll never change you. When you walk with Boaz, and when you get up in the middle of the night with Boaz, and when you pour your heart out on Boaz, that's what changes you. The question that my friend Jake taught me this, and it just sank deep into my heart. Whew. You better be careful what you ask for. Because you ask God to give you millions, he will, but you get million-dollar problems. So those of us who are wise, what do we have to do? We have to go into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, you change me so that when you give me millions, it won't ruin me. It won't sink me. I won't be lost. I won't be led astray. I won't lose myself. Jesus said, what good does it profit a man that he gained the whole world but lose his soul? Let me tell you something, church. The way that we keep our soul and still reach our city and become the people that God has called us to be is that we go find our Boaz. I'm going to keep going just a little bit. I'm feeling a little bit salty. Here's something I have learned is that Boaz does not live in a podcast. Boaz does not always live in somebody else's book. Boaz don't always live in somebody else's song. I'll tell you where, if you really want to find Boaz, here's where you've got to find him. You're going to have to get up in the middle of the night all by yourself. And some of you are going to have to quit looking at God going, God, I want you to be Santa Claus. Some of you need to start looking at God and do what Ruth did and call Boaz what he really is. He's a redeemer. Some of you need to start looking at your life and say, God, I don't care if you change her. I want you to change me. God, I don't care. I don't care, God, what you have to do to bless me, but God, I want you to redeem my soul. I want you to redeem my life. I want you to redeem my calling, redeem my anointing. God, I want you to come and be a Boaz in my life. Here's something I heard the Lord saying to me this week in prayer. I'm in heaven wanting to be Boaz to somebody, but they're content to hang out with the reapers. They want me to be just a little better than the reaper. I'm waiting for somebody, God says, to place a demand on me. God is in heaven saying, you have not because you ask not. The reason you ain't healed is because you didn't ask me to heal you. The reason you ain't blessed because you didn't ask me to bless you. I hear God in heaven saying, I want to redeem your family line. I want to redeem your marriage. I want to redeem your children. God's in heaven saying, is there anybody who will get up in the middle of the night with me and ask me to redeem their life? Is there anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is there anybody got faith that there's a God in heaven that he wants to be a Boaz to us, that he'll redeem our song, he'll redeem our voice, he'll redeem the anointing on our life. I'm going to say it anyway. He'll redeem our property. He will pay our debts. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. I believe that there is a Boaz in heaven that is waiting on a people of faith, a mighty people of faith, that they will say this, God, don't you just change my circumstances. I want you to change me. Yeah.